Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hello you, happy new year and a second season on Bloom Baby Bloom, the podcast. I hope that 2020 was kind to you, and that if it wasn't, that that's okay, because you were kinder to you in passing through it. Sometimes we have great years, and sometimes we have years that give us great lessons and tools. Either way, we never leave without anything. Slowly into the new year, actually pretty much into the new year, I'm excited about the feeling of a new chapter and new beginnings, even though, of course, a new beginning is always whenever you decide it to be, and we don't need to have just this one day or this one noted date that we can feel like we can reset and reboot. And that is exactly what this episode is about. Resetting, replanting ourselves, just like indoor plants. Every now and then, we need to uproot from our little pots and replant ourselves into new soils and perhaps also new pots that can inhabit our growth. And when we practice a holistic and decolonial approach to life, we understand that we always have so many ways to shift and nourish ourselves. Seeing ourselves as holistic beings affected holistically by life and the things that happen around us and to us, being mindful of finding ways to reset ourselves, mind, body, soul, spirit, and surroundings are the good life pillars to start with. Holistically, for me last year, I did good. I went through a few more changes despite the ones we all went through together as a collective. But wow, what a mess it felt like sometimes. But also as a creative, it is often hard to create new things without a bit of a mess sometimes, a bit of a reshift. Looking back though, the worst or most challenging thing that happened last year was the health of my sister, whom I'm so close to, and seeing her go through challenges that were beyond what any of my own family had experienced was rather disheartening and scary. However, the more we understand her and what she needs, the more I'm finding that we will manage just fine as a family. And also, in so many ways, what she has gone through has helped us all reshift and recenter ourselves in our own mental and well-being practices. Because sometimes stuff like that can bring you down, but also, and it's okay, of course, to feel down, but also if you look for it, there's always something of value, of learning that you can reposition yourself. And we as a family are coming together in ways that I think are so beautiful. And it's all thanks to what we have experienced with her. So for that, I am grateful. Apart from that, I am recording this in my new space as I moved rooms, but in the same apartment, actually. I just moved somewhere with more space, so I can have space / a room dedicated to mostly creating, which my multi-passionate self is rather excited about. I've always wished to have a little studio space, and I feel so grateful that in some odd way I have managed to fulfill that dream and want to enjoy it with such eager and joy and intention for as long as I will be here. You can see more from that space on my Instagram at May in Bloom or YouTube, which is also May in Bloom. If you haven't already, you better go there because I am updating more consistently there. I'm also looking forward to this new season on the podcast because I plan to add more conversational and community-based subjects. One thing I really grounded myself more into last year was building and leaning on community. Guys, we need each other. We grow with each other and we rise with each other. I wanted to include at least one talk a month with someone else on everything holistic living and decolonized healing and existence and Black joy. The first conversation will be next weekend with a very dear and special guest, so please stay tuned. Otherwise, most of the episodes will be just you and me and whatever else you are doing while you listen. Like, are you in your bed or are you cooking? Are you driving? Are you painting, cleaning, walking, I'm so curious what you guys do while you're listening to me. If you hear some noise in the background, don't mind. This is the perfect time for me to record, but also sometimes it's the time people wake up. So if you hear stuff, that's okay. That's a cinematic sound of where I am. Okay. Also, a few new changes around here. I'll be mostly posting on Sundays as before, but I might do 3 or 2 episodes a month. This month, it's going to be just 2 episodes. Because your girl likes and loves to explore creativity in all its forms, but I'm constantly trying to find ways to create in a more slow and self-compassionate way, away from this notion that we just have to produce and produce, or we are not going to bear the fruits of that production. I feel like we can produce slowly and intentionally and still see benefits from what we share and still keep the light and energy for the things we love. Actually, I even wrote a podcast, not a blog post. Look at me. I even wrote a blog post on this. It's called like Slow Content Creation. You can find it on bloombabybloom.com, the blog, and I have a search little section, and you can search for that if you want to know more about creating slowly and that we can decide our own rhythm also in digital spaces. Anyway, it's important for me to say that because I need to practice my own advice always on living kinder and more aligned lives. For me, being a multi-passionate artist is part of who I am and have always been. I've always loved creating and loved that I can share creatively inspiration and what I have learned, and I can feel that it is part of my joy to keep creating the way I do. I just also know that it is all right if I do less, if it helps me keep whole and kind, but also keep me going in creating. So that is the plan. The first week of each month, I will keep to myself and arrange myself and then share things the last 3 or 2 weeks of the month. Going to see if that helps. Otherwise, as I said earlier, we can always reboot and restart whenever we feel it necessary. Or even if we just grow past our former routines, we can always choose to set our own pace and create our own path. All right, let's get into this week's subject. The fundamentals of holistic living. What are they? Why create entire platforms for it? And how do we apply them in our lives? To intentionally practice living a holistic life comes first from the understanding that the current way we live is not one that is holistic. We are often asked to do it all, but the intention of doing so is not always kind and good one. It's concerned with pleasing the ego, like, look at me, I'm doing everything, right? Rather than creating a life in alignment with ourselves and natural existence, whatever that might look like to you, of course. But I think for me, what is most important is that you even ask that question. Is the life I'm living, are the things I'm doing true to me, or just a performance of what I'm expected to do and what I expect myself to do? Very important self-reflection. A holistic existence for me is me aiming to reposition myself again in the circle of life, in the circle of existence, creating routines and approaches that honor my body, mind, soul, by respecting the context of my existence as a highly sensitive African woman living in a colonized reality that is not always caring to those things. So that might look different for you as a person, depending on your context and your identity and your wiring, of course. The three fundamentals of holistic living, the three normal fundamentals of holistic living are mind, body, and spirit. In the mind, we seek to create a place of ease and clarity. We can do this by practicing good mental hygiene, like meditation, whether through movement or stillness. We seek to heal or bring to balance areas of our mind that might have been compromised through either trauma or destructive childhood experiences. We also might want to practice good mental care by watching our thoughts and beliefs, of course. If we do find things that we do not have tools to heal or bring to balance ourselves, we are always able to seek out external help, whether through counselors, therapists, mentors, or life coaches or guides. This is exactly why I also became a holistic life coach / guide, because there aren't that many out there, and I know that the kind of healing and motivation I need to pursue a life in alignment with myself has to come from a holistic and decolonial perspective, one that takes my entire being and context of existence into consideration. This is also why I focus mostly on assisting Black women, though I am open to other people. But I do that because I'm sure that even though we are not a monolith, very important, this is the experience I have gained the most knowledge in and I feel most grounded to share from. An example of caring for my mind from a holistic decolonial perspective for me has been getting interested in understanding history, racism, anti-Blackness, and generational trauma. It has been understanding that I was born in a world ruled by a system that is not designed to benefit my kind of people. It has meant me questioning the norms I follow or compare myself to. Perhaps I could go into further detail in all of these areas, but since this is just about highlighting the fundamentals of holistic living, I will keep that for another time. However, I do have another YouTube channel called Abantumay, spelled A-B-A-N-T-U-M-A-Y. And on that channel, I talk and share more about my own efforts to decolonize my life, my mind, and my understanding of the world. If you like to learn more about that, you can of course check out that channel. There's a lot of content on that and more to come in the new year. Okay. The next pillar of holistic living is the body. The body, this body. Our bodies as our own personal ecosystems that help us know when we are or are not in harmony with ourselves. That we should care for our bodies holistically, give them movement and keep them strong and capable. Feed them lovingly and tend to them gently and reassuringly. This can include how we care for our outer body too, how we adorn it, how we take pride in it. For they are our first and forever homes, and working to keep them balanced and well taken care of is the best way to ensure one of the biggest pillar in our overall well-being is set and ready to go. For me, an example of this was like how I changed how I so exercised. I used to work out because I despised how my body looked like and wanted to change it. However, I realized that was a harsh motivation to work out from. I wondered how it would look like if I started working out because I loved my body, or a more neutral stance, because sometimes you don't have to go from I hate my body to I love my body. There is a journey, there is also the neutral stance, the understanding of the body and its use as a tool. If I worked out because I wanted to care for my body that housed my being, it would look different. I realized that I loathed / hated doing crazy HIIT and high cardio workouts for the sake of cardio, especially the really long ones. Like I can do a 10 or 5 minutes, that's okay. I love dancing and walking, and I love strength training and a gentle Tabata here and there. So I reformed the way I saw working out and decided to do the workouts or movements, as I like to call it, that felt good and aligned with my slower Taurus nature and highly sensitive composition. I also include yoga in this, of course. But just because, let's say, Becky loved to spend an hour doing insane cardio and running the running machine, it did not mean that I needed to do that too. Also, my ancestors, like all our ancestors, used to mostly stay fit through living and moving and daily movements, walking, carrying things, and other juicy activities. There are more ways to care for your body, and you can find what feels loving to you. Also, I banned doing another burpee ever again. Those things are evil to my soul, and though I have tried to get used to them a few times, my body and spirit just hates them. So one day, meet set, I was like, what the hell? Why are you doing this? Clearly you hate this workout. Why are you forcing yourself to do it? Is there another way you could get the same or similar benefit doing something else, something you find more enjoyable? And the answer was, of course, yes. So I did that and I never did another burpee again. End of story. So just to say that you can also do that with your workout routines when you're caring for your body. You should not feel like this is the only way to care for your body. There's so many ways that we can do that. We also care for our vessel, the body, because this is the housing of our soul, our spirit. For the spirit in holistic living, we recognize that each spirit is unique and came with unique and valuable gifts. Gifts that should be tended to and applied in order for us to live a more fulfilling existence on this planet in the little time we have. If you have something or things you love and want to bring to life, it is important that you find ways for you to respect that calling and desire and trust that purpose for as long as it calls you. We are indeed a part of a greater community, and in that community, we need beings who are in harmony with themselves first before we can have any chance of living a more harmonious existence with each other. If we have healers, creators, artists, caregivers, providers, advisors, builders, warriors, leaders, spiritual counselors, and visionaries, we need those people to be in tune with themselves and tend to their purest desires so that they might bring more light and help and support the community in ways that are true to themselves. To me, this also means that I connect to something bigger than me, and that is nature and the universe and whatever being or consciousness follows and flows through all living things. I practice this by making time for my interests and work that nourishes my soul, like sharing what holistic living and healing, or holding space for the healing and well-being of others through my holistic sessions that I have with clients. I do this when I believe in my talents, when I show up for my passions and put work and effort into them. My soul feels happiest when I'm creating and when I'm sharing my findings, and when I hear back from you guys about how and what I share helps you or brings calmness or a sense of belonging to you. This is much different than when I'm working just to make ends meet, which I also do from time to time, of course. Bills gotta be paid. I understand the necessity of doing so for many of us, but I realize that an hour doing something I have no spiritual connection to feels like 5 hours, and it depletes me holistically. While 5 hours doing what I enjoy doesn't only fly by, but feeds me and gives me energy to want to do even more, to give even more. Like, renewable energy is more sustainable than conventional energy, which is depleting to the resources and the environment and destructive. When we connect renewable energy within us, it's the river that just keeps flowing. And that's a beautiful feeling. This is also why I work to make time for the things I love, even when it looks like working a few months for money, saving up, and then taking time off and focusing on what I love, and then repeating the cycle until I'm mostly able to do what feels true to me. I share that because there's many ways to get to your dreams and to work and live from your dreams and your passions. And it doesn't have to look the same for everybody. You don't have to pack up and quit everything and be like, I'm gonna die or do. Do or die, I think that's how it goes. You can find a rhythm and a path that, for me, which I prefer slow, intentional, grounded movement, or at least I've noticed that's when I benefit the most. I realize, okay, we can work the conventional job for money, we can save up, and then we can do our work and then take a break. And I'm currently on my break section of that. And you can do that too in your own way. Okay. On another element I added to holistic living is the pillar of our surroundings. This can be who we surround ourselves with and the relationships we have, Are they nourishing? Are they supportive? Are they of mutual respect and care? Do they help us become better beings and respect our nature and boundaries? Do we give and take fairly? We also have how we live, where we live, and with whom we live. Doing our best to put ourselves in environments and spaces that are inspiring and supportive to our essence, well-being, and path. For me, living in a tidy space, filling it with elements of nature, with plants, making sure it isn't too cluttered. To keep a clear mind all helps. A clean and balanced space helps me keep a clean and balanced mind. See? Putting up images I find uplifting, joyful, comforting, or encouraging on my walls is also a good way to care for my surroundings. Listening to music that helps me come into inner balance. Looking around and finding things that inspire me, either through exploration, events, or community, or even travel, even if I'm only traveling in my neighborhood, all those things also help. But also being able to give back to my community, whether that is just family, friends, or the diaspora in general, anything that connects me and what I do to something bigger and tangible also matters. Our surroundings and our community are big pillars to our well-being. All these are essential for me. That is why adding surrounding to the conventional idea of holistic living, which only includes three, mind, body, and soul, is important for me, because it adds that extra element. And who knows, maybe in more years people will add another element that will help us understand that there is even more than just those four things. But for now, those are the four that I have and try to live in accordance with. For everyone, living a holistic life might be different. Just like an ideal life for a fish might not be the same one for a bird. Yet by them knowing and living in alignment with their nature, they bring balance to the ecosystem of the whole. We do the same for our communal ecosystems. When we become aligned with our own nature too, when we are balanced and seek to keep balanced, we do ourselves a great service and those around us too. Living and grounding ourselves into holistic principles and philosophies is a great practice to have, especially in a world that seeks to cut us off from what really nurtures and nourishes us. When we can find ways to fulfill our needs, to be whole, one area at a time, one thing at a time, this is always of greater benefit to everybody and ourselves. Always aiming to do so in a steady and finally consistent motion towards healing and thriving. We win on so many levels, sis, when we do that. Mind, body, soul, surrounding, and baby, I'd even say cosmically. I would even say cosmically. Anyway, so thank you so much for spending this little time with me. I hope that what I have shared has been of benefit to you and that you feel capable of applying it in whichever way makes sense to you. Now that we have talked about the fundamentals, I look forward to spending this season sharing and learning about which ways, big or small, we practice holistic, intentional, and empowering existence together. If you have any subjects or questions you would like to be shared on the podcast, please don't hesitate to contact me on bloombabybloom.com or on Instagram at mayinbloom, as I would love to hear from you guys too and continue turning this into a thriving and supportive community of individual plants healing and balancing themselves and leaving behind a stronger and healthier collective forest. Until next time, may life find you blooming wherever you are. As always, I send you love, courage, and light to know your way or your ways, to follow it and trust yourself with your life. Sincerely, as always, May. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.